This recording is produced from Open Reel Tapes, originally recorded for Vancouver Community College, Langara Campus, in 1970. This program forms part of the Langara College Real History Project, which restores and preserves British Columbia's oral history. This project is funded in part by the British Columbia 2000 Millennium Arts and Heritage Fund, in partnership with Vancouver Public Library and Langara College. Copyright for this product is held by Langara College. It may not be reproduced in whole or in part in any form without permission from the copyright holder. The title of this recording is The Role of the MLA, Social Credit Member Agnes Cripps. The interviewers are members of the Vancouver Community College faculty. The interviewee is Agnes Cripps. The audience consists of students at Vancouver Community College, Langara Campus.
We are interviewing Agnes Cripps, Social Credit MLA, for Vancouver South. Thank you very much. What is your educational background?
I was educated in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Hometown?
Is that your hometown?
North End.
I went to David Livingstone Elementary School, William White Junior High, it's an all-girls school, and I went to St. John's Technical. And then I got a Manitoba scholarship management to the University of Manitoba, supplemented it with success business college.
Now, who or what influenced your early political thinking?
I guess, what do you mean by that?
Well, how did you get into politics? What was your idea that got you into politics in the first place?
With me, politics is a way of life, and I feel that if you believe in certain things that the people should have, the only place that it really matters is where the decisions are made. And on the voluntary level, I've worked for 23 years continuously as a volunteer worker, and I found that oftentimes the door was locked when I wanted to present certain viewpoints. And unless you get in where all the decisions are made and make yourself available to the people, then you can really go ahead and bring about changes in society for the betterment of mankind.
Now, was there a particular incident or reason that led you to the post of MLA?
Well, I got elected. just what do you mean, a reason?
Well, was there something that drove you to get into the provincial government in the Social Credit Party?
Well, it goes back again, I think, to my early childhood. I am of Ukrainian ancestry, and we have never taken freedom for granted. Ukraine had always been enslaved and never had its freedom, only for about 3 years, January 22nd, 1918. And it was sort of a motivating cause that freedom at all expense should be preserved, and I felt that it was my duty to contribute to society for what my grandparents had received in coming here.
So, have you ever thought of changing parties?
Oh, it never entered my mind.
Since you've become an MLA, has your idea of the office changed in any way?
No, it hasn't. I might tell you, I've been a social creditor ever since I've come here as a young bride, and I guess when coalition days were here, and Premier Bennett crossed the floor, the hearts of many people crossed with him. And I have lived with social credit ever since it's been in office. And when the opportunity presented itself and I was ready for it, I entered into the political arena and I beat the NDP by almost 4,000 votes.
Ms. Cripps, I'd like to ask you a question now. How much time do you feel you should spend as an MLA?
I spend all the time that I have available. I must say, I can't speak for the other MLAs, but I am a full-time ombudsman, and my phone is always available to the people. In fact, I have two phones, so that if one line is busy, there's always the other one. And I would never think of having an unlisted number. I feel that I'm there to serve the people, and if they can't get me, then I shouldn't be in there.
Now, what did you do with your time while the Legislative Assembly was in progress?
I didn't have any extra time. I was very busy. Let me tell you, I was on committees, and our committee meetings would start in the morning, and I always had school children from my constituency come and visit me, and I would take them through the legislature and give them the opportunity of sitting in the Legislative Assembly in the seat. Some were opposition, some were government members. It depended where you sat. I would explain to them the parliamentary process, how legislation is made, take them through the entire building. Some of the students I took through the data processing center, depending on their interest, and they went to the museum. I treated them all to lunch, and then caucus meeting at 1 o'clock. There are no phones when we are in caucus. The press is not there, and you can really express yourself, and then into the session at 2 o'clock. I must tell you an interesting thing. It took me 3 weeks to find out where everybody was going. I felt I should be in the house and paying attention, which I was doing. And the only time I would leave the house is if a page boy came with a note saying that somebody wanted to see me, a constituent or an urgent phone call. And there was this one day when one of the NDP boys was giving his address, and I was counting heads. I looked and I saw, my goodness, you don't even have a majority in the house. Where's everybody? He was counting heads too, and in the middle of his speech, he moved a non-confidence motion. And of course, on the voice vote, we were defeated, but the speaker presses the button and everybody rushes to their seat. So I inquired, where's everybody going? And he said, well, haven't you had your coffee? And here, you know, to go for coffee. And as I say, it took me 3 weeks to realize that you should be going out for coffee, you know, to break it up.
Now, when the assembly was not in session, how do you spend your time?
When we're not, I'm in the constituency, and I'm serving the needs of the people, and there are many. Our constituency is very diverse. It's almost like a miniature Canada. We've got the very wealthy people on one end, to the common working men, the welfare people, the senior citizens, the young people. I think it's a wonderful constituency. I love it.
Now, what do you think of the social credit program on pollution?
I think it's a good program.
Well, could you maybe elaborate a little more on it, if you could?
I think that industry is as much concerned as the private individual to be a good citizen. And until we have an alternative for industry to convert to certain machinery, say, to clear the air, it's no use saying close down because we don't like the smoke in the air, or we don't like the pollutants, and then we force people out of jobs and we create another vicious circle. We have given them until 1975 to get the sewage treatment cleaned up, and I feel we have a good program. In fact, ours is the best. In Canada, we were the first one. Ray Resources Minister Ray Wilson was the first chairman of the Council of Resource Ministers. And I was just reading an article the other day that if you took Toronto's method of gauging the pollution in the air and applied it to ours in the city of Vancouver, for example, gosh, we don't even figure on the map, we're so pure. And I find that a lot of people phone me about the pollution coming from Marple, you know, where we live, and it gets quite smoky. But they don't seem to differentiate the steam when they're drying out the logs. It's just steam in the air, and it looks like smoke. Well, it isn't a hazard, the steam in itself. And each municipality, of course, has to have its own bylaws to govern it. In certain areas, for example, the people don't mind the smell because it's their way of living, it's their bread and butter, whereas we may not like the idea, but working together, it's everybody's responsibility.
That means that we can assume that you feel the Social Credit Party is right in offering permits to these companies that are polluting the air?
It doesn't offer a permit to them to pollute the air. You can't get a permit unless you will abide to certain specifications. And if you will abide to all the requirements of the given area, then you will get a permit to be in business.
And not to pollute.
And you can't pollute, right. Right.
Well, I actually don't have anything else. You run right through them very fast. We have, with other MLAs, taken an hour and a half, 2 to 3 hours.
Well, how
That's
come
this
takes so long?
Well, we
get into
big discussions.
The official opposition must offer constructive criticism, not just for the sake of criticizing. Now, I don't know if you're familiar how legislation is made or brought about. I may have an idea, and other MLAs have ideas, and we present these ideas to our caucus meeting, and they are discussed back and forth, and as I said, there's no press, so everybody is very free, because when there's a press around, sometimes your statements are taken out of context, and the actual meaning isn't there. Now, we sit in caucus meeting, and we agree on certain pieces of legislation, say, for example, our landlord and tenant act. It took quite a few sessions before we were all agreed as to how it should be presented. The opposition doesn't know what we are doing or what we are discussing, and so they are impatiently waiting to see what pieces of legislation will be presented for first reading on the floor of the House. And then if there are too many MLAs, government MLAs, that are opposed to certain pieces of legislation, it is never introduced onto the floor of the House. If there's only, say, 3 or 4, well, that's not enough to defeat the government. But you, out of courtesy, will tell the cabinet minister whose department it falls within that, well, I will be voting against that so that he knows. Now, we have agreed on a certain piece of legislature. It is introduced into the House for first reading. And that's the first time that the opposition will get a chance to know what it's all about. So naturally, they have their caucus meeting, and they're looking for loopholes or how they could tear it apart. And when you are in the House, you have certain immunity, which you don't have anywhere else. I can call you a liar or a thief, and it doesn't matter. I am immune, and you can't be charged for libel. But if you say it out the House, that's why you hear the expression, say it outside the House, you know. Oftentimes, they don't say it, because then they know that they're in trouble. So it's up for first reading, and then you study it, and it's back in caucus, too, you know. Constituents will express their viewpoints on certain issues, so you bring it back to caucus, and if we feel there should be amendments, there's the second reading. When it's presented for second reading, we may bring in amendments or, you know, depending on the piece of legislation. And then there's a third reading that is required, and then it has to be proclaimed law. So it takes 3 stages. Many people think that if a bill has been introduced, for example, the independent schools have presented a private member's bill. They can't come in and present it, but they will get an MLA to present it on their behalf. And they think the moment that it's been presented, well, it's really on going on to the great guns. Well, sometimes it just dies on the order paper. It doesn't even get off the second read.
What is your goal? Are you going to try to be a cabinet minister or kind of like that? Have you got any further plans?
Well, there's no such thing as trying to be a cabinet minister. You do the best you can with the talents that you have, and that is my goal. And if the premier feels that I am capable, I would not like to be made a cabinet minister just because I am a woman. You know, we have 3 women in there that were put in right after the 1966 election, because he had done a big promise that he would make if a woman was elected to cabinet minister. Well, I don't feel that just because someone is a woman that I should be made a cabinet minister. I know after I was elected there was a lot of speculation in the press, what are you going to do with Agnes Crisp? Well, I think I should prove myself as a person working for the people. That's all.
Okay, thank you very much.